ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al Sterling, coming to you from Factor Studio here in beautiful and, to be blunt, a little chilly Orlando.
Yeah, it's kind of cold outside right now.
It is way too cold.
You guys are soft.
I brought a real coat, like a pea coat that I purchased in another state because they don't sell good ones here in Florida.
You know why?
Because it doesn't normally get this cold.
I had no idea what a pea coat was.
Oh, jeez.
Because they don't sell them here.
Right, I know. Like, at what point would I have any idea? Like, I don't.
They have men's pea coats.
You have traveled the world, my friend.
Yeah, and you know what? How many winters I experienced? Exactly one.
Okay.
And which one was that?
The one in Korea, and it was damn cold. And let me tell you.
And you wish you had a pea coat.
I did, actually. I was wearing like a ski jacket and the thing. Like, I was wearing like six layers. The problem was in Korea. I'm fat, like, in general, but in Korea, I'm, like, super fat. I thought it was going to be... Do you guys ever... There was an old movie where, what's his name, went to Japan as a baseball player?
I don't know, but you should probably introduce us now.
Shut up. This is important. There's a scene where Tom Selleck goes to Japan and plays baseball. He's walking down. He's, like, 8 feet taller than all of the Japanese.
Is this, like, a Major League movie?
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, so I thought that was going to be what it was like when I got to South Korea, and it turns out, no. They're all as tall, if not taller than me. I was of average height. I was, however, of substantial width.
And also brown.
And hairy.
Right. Yeah, they used to rub my belly.
Because they thought you were like the Buddha.
This is true. Like, I'd be on the subway, and these little ladies would come up and just rub my belly.
Oh, my God.
Like, without introducing, not even so much as like a smile. They just come up and rub my belly and look at me confused. I'm like, what are you confused for? Just walked up to a stranger and rubbed his belly.
Maybe they thought you had a baby in there, and they were like, how did you get it in there?
Point is, I couldn't find clothes because they don't make them for fat guys. In South Korea. So I never got a pea coat.
Oh, my God, Al.
That was important.
For the record, for our out-of-state listeners, it's 50 degrees out.
That's cold.
Actually, that was the high today. It's supposed to get down to the 30s tonight.
Ooh.
Hey, listen, you can cart your happy ass
we
back up north or whatever you want.
In Orlando. There is a reason we chose Orlando. It should not be that cold.
Anyway, coming to you again from Factor Studio. We have in the studio today, first, of course, Mr. Producer Dan.
Hey, everybody.
And our wonderful co-host, Miss Danielle.
Hello.
And looking like he may have regretted the choice to come here.
He looks really scared. It's adorable.
We are pleased to welcome Justin Link. Justin, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good.
Wonderful. Now, Justin Link is not to be confused with Justin Stone or Professor Stone.
Right.
Or do we have another Justin?
That's the only one.
We got like nine Dans that flow through here.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of Dans.
Lots of Dans, but okay, only the thing. Okay. So Justin is here to talk with us about virtual reality and all that kind of fun stuff. But I wanted to make sure I got it right. So will you please share with us just the name and your title with your company?
Okay. My name or the company name?
No, the company name, because it was really cool and I was afraid I was going to mess it up.
Okay. It's Chronosapien Interactive.
Chronosapien Interactive.
Chrono.
Chrono, like as in time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time Chronos. Monkey.
Chronosapien.
I love it so much.
That's nice.
Right? You can see why I didn't want to screw that up.
Yeah.
Because I have a hard time with names, apparently. That's why I host a podcast.
Right.
So we're going to get into virtual reality and all that kind of cool stuff later. First, let's go ahead and do a little This Week in Geek.
Woohoo!
Yay! Coming up first, there's bound to be a topic up there shortly.
I did that on the wrong page.
Oh,
didn't I?
Wow.
That's all right. That's all right.
Let's start with that one.
Okay, so
Al Stupid.
Yeah, we'll start with Al Stupid.
So, a couple weeks ago, we had Brad Petrino Esquire on the show as he was there to talk with us about some of the legalities of superheroism. And as one of the items we talked about during that This Week in Geek was Mad Glass, which was this wonderful, incredibly cheap version of Google Glass. So would you please, Justin, share with us everything you know about Mad Glass, as this is obviously a huge thing?
Nothing.
Okay. So we are now confirmed that is, in fact, a complete scam. Do not support it in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, man.
I know. Would you believe that Google Glass would qualify as a competitor for $679?
No, I don't believe that.
Oh. Not even like a little bit like... I was really hoping for a little more there. So but, you know, maybe if we... No, not even like a maybe if we and then we move over here. No?
They don't make Google Glass anymore, so...
Right. But it was retailing at more than $679.
It was like $2,000, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Multiple
This
mountains.
One apparently could translate other written languages live, like in real time, and then tell
like
you how
the
to
TARDIS.
Pronounce it. Yes, like the TARDIS. But yes.
Yeah, super important.
No, he's not even looking like he's vaguely.
No.
Okay.
No.
Let's move on. This is embarrassing for me.
Al's stupid.
So first up in This Week in Geek.
Second up.
Yeah, we already
I don't think that counts. That was just Al stupid.
Oh.
That's a whole new segment.
So
we should make that a new segment.
So Danielle
How is Al stupid?
Yes.
So Danielle new saw segment. The Force Awakens.
I did.
So Danielle, I would like
It only took her a month.
So
I had to wait for the crowds to thin out.
Yeah. So would you please share with us what'd you think? What'd you feel?
Okay, so as a non Star Wars fan, I had like a ton of expectations and it didn't disappoint too much.
Wow. just to be clear, you finally saw The Force Awakens, and your response was, it didn't suck too much.
No, I actually enjoyed most of it. The first, like, 45 minutes was like, wow, this feels like a Star Wars movie.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, it did what?
Wait, so that's the part that was disappointing to you?
Because
we're opposites.
And so then when like they're in the cantina, and first of all, I loved Maz. I thought she was awesome.
We're there.
And Rey hears like the...
Wait, spoilers?
Oh, should I not?
Oh. Yeah, okay. If you still haven't seen The Force, I'm assuming that Danielle was the last one to have seen the movie ever.
True.
So if you also, though, however, still not seen The Force Awakens, first of all...
And care for some reason. You haven't seen it and you care?
That's true. So just in case, you can skip ahead
forward.
A couple minutes. All right, so go ahead.
Okay, so when Rey hears the screams coming from the, I guess the light, it ended up being the lightsaber, the Force, or whatever, and she goes downstairs, it was like, ooh, this is creepy, like a thriller, like a horror movie. Awesome! And then it just kind of went back into a Star Wars movie. So I...
You loved 30 seconds of it.
No. To be clear, actually, I liked a lot of it. I really did.
It shows.
I'm not saying it right. I really liked Rey. I think she's an awesome, awesome character. I think the girl that played her is an incredible actress. And I finally did listen to the Star Wars recap that you guys did. And mm-hmm. I don't agree with everything. I actually liked a lot of the humor because it made me feel like I it wasn't a Star Wars movie. So I know. But there was lots of, all right. I said I'm not a Star Wars fan.
Right.
I'm just there's something about Star Wars that doesn't quite grab me, and that movie had a lot of those same elements, but there were a lot of elements that I really did enjoy.
So I've been thinking about this a lot, and I want to share my theory as to why Danielle's not a Star Wars fan.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because she clearly has got the geek cred, you know, right. If we're going to measure that type of thing, and we really don't, but just for the sake of the argument. Here's what I think the problem is. I think at some point somebody told Danielle that she had to like Star Wars.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly who that was.
Was it me?
No.
Okay.
Oh, but he's been on your...
Whatever. The point here is I think that what we basically have happening here is somebody told Danielle that she had to like Star Wars, and if you tell Danielle that she has to do anything, her immediate... and permanent response is to dislike it.
No, wait.
The fact that we've gotten this far
True.
Is a testament not to ourselves, but to how good Star Wars is that it managed to override Danielle's permanent block of hating anything she was told she has to like.
Like, you guys are making me a little bit embarrassed right now. No, I genuinely enjoyed the movie for what it was. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was a good production. How about this? I want to see where it's going. I want to see the next movie. I have my theories. I've been thinking about it. It's not like I watched it and I was like, well, there was a load of crap and I can't get my money back.
No, I legitimately enjoyed it.
I thought it was a good production.
And listen, if you did just, and I understand that you don't, but if you did just legitimately hate Star Wars, you're still allowed on the show. You're still allowed to call yourself a geek. You don't have to love Star Wars in order to call yourself a geek.
I understand that. And I didn't hate it. I honestly did not hate it. I thought... You know, they've updated with the times with Rey being a bit of a feminist and not letting anyone help her. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. I really did. I think that they did a great job casting all of the characters. I disagree with everyone on Kylo Ren. I think that you're not supposed to completely hate him. Like, I don't think he's supposed to be the all-encompassing big bad evil that Darth Vader was before we saw the prequels and then learned who Anakin was. Like, I think that they're going somewhere with that.
I think so too. I think you're right. And so, I think people dislike. I don't think people disliked Kylo Ren because of his character. I think they disliked the whiny, the Darth tantrum. I guess is what we.
I think that they didn't like him because he wasn't Darth Vader.
That's kind
that's
of
also
what I
true. Think. I actually didn't mind him either, and I was reading some more stuff. We posted actually something on about how Kylo Ren. You know, like let's put this shit into context. Him taking the blaster bolt from Chewie's from yeah. Chewie's blaster. Is that's a it's pretty legit. Justin, did you're nodding like you at least. Got a vague idea. Did you already see The Force Awakens?
Yeah, I saw it.
That's good because we just spoiled like a whole bunch of stuff. I'm glad to hear that. Hey, so what were your thoughts? How was it ranking for you?
I thought it was really good. Honestly, it met all my expectations, and I came out of there feeling pretty satiated. You know, it did everything that I wanted it to do. You know, and expectations being what they were with the new trilogy. I thought that they made up for that, and then I got a little bit more too, because you know the movie was a little bit longer, I think, than a normal Star Wars movie. If I remember
correctly,
it did
feel longer, yeah.
So I thought that was good though, because I got what I wanted, and then a little bit more, and I left perfect.
That's fair. That's fair. All right.
I feel like I know people have said, including you, that I'm not. It makes me not a science fiction fan, and I don't think that's true. I think that there's a very specific type of science fiction that Star Wars falls into that I'm not a fan in.
No, and I would agree with that. I've revised my theory. I think you carry a little bit of anti-Star Wars.
That sounds terrible. That
it's
makes
not
me
terrible.
Sound like a freaking like.
It's not terrible. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, listen, we all carry our Listen, I hated Star Wars for a long time. Do you want to know why? Because I was a Trekkie, and I was told that Trekkies and Star Wars fans don't get along. That you don't like both. It took me a long time before I finally realized that both were actually good. Because I grew up in a darker, harder period for nerds. So you know, this is. Perfectly fine.
By the way, I got a correction from one of our very loyal listeners. Shout out to Dave. Not Dave. Mike. Shout
wow,
out to Mike.
This is way to be a loyal
yeah.
listener.
Sorry. Hey, Mike. Anyway, Mike corrected me on the Trekker versus Trekkie topic. And it turns out that Trekkers are fans of the original series. Trekkies are fans of Next Gen.
Oh.
Whoa.
See, no, that is drilling deeper than I
right?
I'm still a Trekkie, not a Trekker.
That
but
is like next level information.
Actually, it's next generation, I think is what he said.
Uh-huh.
Moving on.
Oh, no.
Here's
I don't
where
want
things
to
get
talk
a little bit
sad.
So.
This is so sad.
So.
Last week we talked about David Bowie.
Yeah, and this week we lost Alan Rickman. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, man, that just.
That gets you to the core.
It does. It really does. I don't see the thing. For the most part, I don't really follow celebrities. I don't particularly care about celebrities. There's a handful of ones that I kind of you know freak out about, but I don't follow celebrities in any real way. But Alan Rickman just was such a giant in the geek industry in the everything. He was actually the first time I ever saw him was in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, as the Sheriff of Nottingham. Mm-hmm. And he was phenomenal. And then, of course, I saw him as Hans Gruber after I got to watch Die Hard, and I realized
right.
I was really angry at my parents for not letting me watch it when I was
oh my gosh.
Like six or whatever
I
when it came out.
I forgot about that. That's the whole reason I loved Die Hard was because of Hans Gruber.
Yeah, well, let me say, it wasn't Bruce Willis's wide acting range
no,
that really
it wasn't.
Sold that movie. Although, to be fair, he was still awesome in that movie.
He's still a badass. But no, and it's... He's just like he is such a good person too. Like Daniel Radcliffe posted on his Google Plus page, whatever they call it now.
First of all, Daniel Radcliffe is a Google Plus page
so that he uses.
This is important because if you've been wanting to talk to Daniel Radcliffe, there's only like 12 people on Google Plus, so the chances of him actually reading it pretty high.
Yeah. So, anyways, he had put like how Alan Rickman as a person had shaped him. He was the first person that he acted with. Back in the Harry Potter days that actually treated him not as a child but as an adult. And every time he had a performance with a new production in London, Alan Rickman would go and see him. Like, he was a great guy, and, like, everyone loved working with him, and it is really sad that he is gone.
And his job as Snape. Was just
don't even.
There's no.
We can't even go there. I'm gonna cry.
No, and you read more about it, and they talked about how you know that he was one of the only ones who knew Snape's big secret from the very beginning. And I loved when I was reading about how he used to argue with some of the directors that it came on over the course of the series because they wanted Snape to do certain things that he knew Snape wouldn't do because he knew You know, Snape's big secret, and the directors didn't. So, you know, that's
I'm
be
getting
weird...
chills right now. You can't talk about this.
That's got to be a really weird thing for you to look at the director and be like, no, that's not what my character would do. Yes, it is. I'm the director. Yeah, talk to Jay. Oh, I'm sorry, Joe, as he calls her. He calls her mm-hmm. Joe.
Yeah.
That's how close he is. Nice. Talk to Joe and get back with me.
Well, that's, because the, all the books hadn't even been written, but she knew what she was where she was going with Snape, and she mm-hmm. revealed it to him so that he would know. Going into it that had to play his character. Like, they had a great relationship. It's very sad.
Speaking of things that, well, I'm not going to do that. Deadpool surprise screening.
Oh, God. You were going to go
can
there.
Can you go ahead and tell them about the surprise screening there, Dan?
All right. So last night, actually, right before we recorded this podcast, there were a couple of events in L.A. and New York for Deadpool, and they had different members of the cast and crew at each of these events, and they told the fans that showed up that they were going to get to see a few extra looks at extended footage, basically, from the movie, and instead they showed them the entire freaking movie.
Wow.
Oh.
And the reviews coming in are incredible. They're saying it's the best Marvel movie ever.
Oops.
They're saying that...
I can't wait.
It's just phenomenal, and they're already talking about a sequel incorporating Cable.
That's awesome.
Because there's an X Factor movie coming up, and they're talking about joining the two.
Are you fans
what is
of
Cable?
It's another mutant.
He's another character.
Okay. We're not going to
don't worry about it.
Are you a Deadpool fan there, Justin?
I'm not that into comics, honestly.
No.
The movie looked cool. I mean, it's funny how superhero movies are finally getting to like this meta level. This movie's definitely a meta movie.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Deadpool's one of the most meta.
Yeah, why absolutely. And just meta? Another quick thing with Deadpool this week, there was a petition put out.
I love this.
They want this. Okay, Deadpool is rated R.
Okay,
which very is like very R.
A first in the industry, you know. And they're saying now that there's this petition out on Change.org for them to put out a PG-13 release simultaneously.
That's dumb.
It's really dumb.
Did you see the response on Deadpool? From Deadpool or whatever it was from the official? Yeah. Basically, it said there's this little boy who really wants to see Deadpool. And he said, "This movie, little Johnny. This movie is for adults. Also, your mother's a whore." Like that was, I was like, "Oh my god, that was."
So why is it meta? You guys said that, but I don't understand why.
Because
it's meta.
Deadpool is completely aware that he's a comic book character, and he talks
he
about
breaks the fourth wall.
He breaks the fourth wall constantly.
Oh, you're talking in this movie or in the comic book?
Yes,
in the comic
books. Yes.
So in the comic books, he talks about being a comic book character?
Yeah, he knows that he's a comic book character. He's the only one that understands that the Marvel Universe is not real.
That's so confusing.
It is, and it's amazing. And he does things like, I've seen comics where he literally jumps out of one, like, you know, in the little different boxes of the comic books. He gets out of a box and crawls into another box, and just like this whole kind of thing. It's
interesting.
And one of my favorite examples of it is in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Deadpool's one of the characters. And there's a special attack that that Deadpool does where he jumps up and grabs the life bar that's at the top of these. It's a street fighting style game. And he grabs the life bar and beats the other character with the life bar. There's also a move that he does where he
this
literally,
is in a video game?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Where he transports directly next to the next to the other player, puts a gun to the other character's head and goes, "Hey, player," and then blows the and then like shoots the other guy in the head. Just like those
how do you
kind of
get
are,
the codes to do those moves?
No, they're just basic moves. That's just what Deadpool does.
Like, oh,
those,
yeah.
aren't super secret. That's just how Deadpool.
So it's not like when you're playing Street Fighter and to get her to do the jump kick hi-ya move you have to.
Okay, we're gonna move on to our main topic.
Left, right.
All right, so Justin, we did not bring you here to listen to us talk. We came here to listen to you talk. Tell us a little bit about your company, what your company does, how long you guys been around, what are you guys working on? Some really, really secret, trade secret stuff would be great.
Sure. So my company...
didn't even blink at that. He's like, oh, no, trade secrets, got it. Okay, no.
There's plenty of those. So what my company does is work on interactive media and specialize in emerging technology. We work on a lot of different kinds of projects, whether they be simulations, games, interactive kiosks. You know, it really doesn't matter. They all involve the same skill set. And that's actually kind of part of why I started the company was because, you know, I could use this skill set and make games, which is my passion. That's kind of hard to get into, right? So we figured we would just do a little bit of everything until we finally built up, I guess, our coffers enough to be able to do those types of things. So like I said, we work on, you know, different types of interactive media, but we like to specialize in emerging technologies. So what that means is anything that is new or up and coming in terms of technology, whether that's hardware or software, we like to take advantage of and create something new with it. So really just trying to take advantage of the new capabilities that new technology has.
So do you have like a product out that you can tell us about?
Well, I guess the here and now thing that we're doing is a game called Space Between. I say here and now, and we did it a year ago, and Intel's finally catching up to us. but anyway, it's a game called Space Between. It uses Intel's camera called RealSense, and it's similar to the Kinect, if you guys are familiar with the Kinect. You use your hands and your head to control different sea creatures and machines. And sort of, I guess, the short story of that game is that we did a contest with Intel called the Perceptual Computing Challenge. We did a demo of Space Between, which was very different then than it is now. We ended up getting second place in that contest, and Intel wanted to work with us to do the full version. So they funded the full version of our application, and a whole bunch of other things, too, involving Intel. We work a lot with Intel now, actually.
Wow. So. That's pretty legit. So in this one, you're controlling sea creatures?
Yeah, so it's sort of, we were basically going for kind of like a Wii Sports of this RealSense camera, right?
Okay.
This camera was unreleased at the time that we were working on it, and they needed content for it. And so we really wanted to showcase the features in a way that wasn't really gimmicky, but was easy to learn, kind of difficult to master, right? That's what every game developer wants to do.
Right.
So what we did was we have a collection of 5 different mini games that sort of take you deeper into the ocean, and you control each of these creatures in a different way that is unique to the creature itself.
That sounds awesome. I love mini games. I love games that have layers and stuff like that. And the fact that each creature has different things you can do with them, that sounds awesome.
So, like, cool. Can I eat something with a shark?
Can you eat something with... Actually, it's the opposite. The sharks eat you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, one of our games you play is a school of fish.
Oh, God. He says, oh, God.
Yeah, one of the games you play is a school of fish, and you're avoiding the sharks.
Oh.
Yeah. He likes sharks too much to avoid them.
I think sharks are awesome, but yeah, that would be, if I was a fish, I feel like I would feel differently. As a matter of fact, if I was in the ocean, I feel differently about sharks than I do sitting here safely at a table.
Right.
Because sharks don't get to tables, right? That's what I heard. Right? Right?
Pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then, yeah, no, we're good.
I mean,
we're
good. Have the whole shark to table program, but
that's different. That's different. That is very different. Those sharks are still, they're not, although even if, because every now, if a shark were laid down, like obviously dressed and dead, I guess, I still would get a little nervous about it because those things are dangerous. Okay, so you play a school of fish, and you're running from a shark.
No, you're not running.
No? You're just avoiding a shark?
Swimming.
Yeah.
Yes, I realized that it went... All right.
Yeah, this stage kind of scrolls, and you're avoiding the environment, or I guess navigating the environment and avoiding sharks while collecting points.
Gotcha. That's all. What other sea creatures do we get to control in this thing?
So there's a sea turtle. What's the second one? A whale, a school of fish.
Okay, now I'm so in right now. I love whales.
What kind of whale?
It's called a night whale. We made up fictional characters so that we didn't have to adhere to any science or facts.
Good call.
That's awesome.
Way to go.
You are definitely in the right place. Yeah. This is, for geek's sake, is definitely a good spot for you to be in. We're also not concerned with facts. Can a night whale have ninja abilities?
Maybe.
All right.
In Space Between 2.
All right. Space Between 2. Ninja whale.
Yeah. Can you
ninja night whale?
Can you upgrade your characters?
Upgrade the whale.
Yeah.
Can you get weapons? This is probably not what he went into this to do. This
freaking laser beams, though.
Oh, that's my! A whale with laser beams. Now that would stop a shark.
Maybe.
Yeah. The whale's a lot bigger than sharks. It doesn't matter. So what else? If you could do anything you wanted, you've got this stuff going on. If you could do anything you wanted, what would you guys be making?
That's a good question, and it sort of changes. You know, it's almost like flavor of the week. One of the main things that we try and work on but never really have the time or money to do is a game. We really want to make a roguelike. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the roguelike genre.
No. Tell us, why don't you walk us through that?
Sure. Well, I guess this, and it depends on who you ask. If you ask a person who's actually into roguelikes, they'll tell you probably something very different, and I've experienced that firsthand. But for most people, what a roguelike is sort of like the old arcade days of you only have one life and you get as far as you get and then you start over, to put it short.
Okay.
Hardcore mode.
Yeah, exactly. Some other defining features are procedurally generated environments, mm-hmm. RPG elements, that sort of a thing. But the main thing is permadeath.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. No one wants that. That's why we play video games.
Well, the game doesn't break. You can go
you
back
can
and
do it again.
Do it again.
It's not like those board games that you can only play once.
Right. That we talked about that last week. This is different. You can do this.
I'm just saying, I don't want to die.
You know what? I have a hard time with these roguelike games. Now that I know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. I'm not very good.
I've been playing Toy Story 3 on the Wii, and every time I freaking lose on the train, it makes me go back to the beginning. It's so annoying.
Okay, that's not exactly what he's talking about, but okay, all right. Is there a specific type of game that you enjoy working on? Is you more like the more RPG stuff, or do you more the? It sounds like you guys are enjoying a little bit more of the RPG level.
Yeah, I think that's appealing probably to all developers just because there's a lot of depth to it without a whole lot of input, technically, relatively.
No, I get that.
Yeah, so, but you know, not specifically. Not specifically. I mean, we're really looking at trying to do some multiplayer stuff, but again, there's a lot of upfront work to do stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's talk Oculus Rift then. Mm-hmm. Oculus Rift is supposed to be, you know, the latest, greatest. This is going to be the beginning of virtual reality. How are you guys feeling about it? What are you guys thinking as you guys are looking at it from like the insider's perspective?
It's revolutionary. I mean, and that's probably underselling it. It's literally going to change the way that we interact with each other, the way that we do work. It will change everything.
Wow. That's, so you're not,
I am biased, but
that's him underselling it, folks.
Yeah.
That was. See, I get stuck because I remember back in the mid '90s, I did virtual reality at this spot in Church Street Station, and it was from.
I did that too.
Yeah, Bubble Yum, I think, was the one who did it, and you put on the big. You're standing in the big, huge thing, and actually, I mean, it was the '90s virtual reality. Is exactly what it was, and I remember every time I hear virtual reality, that's what I think.
Wasn't that a thing, though?
I think
the Virtual Boy.
At Disney Quest, they have the Aladdin thing where you're riding on a carpet, and the thing that they put on your head is so freaking heavy, and I'm, like, not a big girl, and it's like, it's like falling off my head. I didn't like it.
So no. Do you think the hardware and software has obviously gotten to the point? I mean, obviously it's better than Bubble Yum virtual reality from 1996. But I mean, are we talking about virtual reality? Or are we talking about augmented reality?
Definitely virtual reality.
Okay, so this is true virtual.
Yeah. So, and maybe just for everyone else too, virtual reality and augmented reality technically sit on a spectrum called mixed reality, of which virtual reality is at one end and physical reality is at another.
Not a fan of physical reality, so keep going.
So augmented reality is sort of like you're in your physical environment and this virtual content is augmenting, you know, your life in some way, whether that be, you know, directing you with some kind of like a map or something like that, or maybe like giving you information about a store that you're in front of. That would be augmented reality. The thing that most people actually don't know about is there's a thing called augmented virtuality, which is sort of the inverse of augmented reality. Augmenting your virtual environment with physical or content.
Okay, I don't think I followed that. I was really trying hard there.
Yeah, you literally just blew his mind. I saw his hair move.
Is that like Ingress or whatever that game is on your phone where it's like...
No, that would still be augmented reality.
Okay, so that's not... Okay.
So what
But it puts like monsters and stuff and you have to like avoid them and...
Right, but that's not what he's... He's talking about physical stuff going into a virtual space.
Right.
That's virtual stuff going into a... So can you give us an example of... What did you call it? Augmented...
Virtuality.
Augmented virtuality. I can't even, like...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm lost. Well, can you walk me through that a little bit? Let's assume I'm dumb. I'm not, but let's just pretend I am.
Yeah, he's totally not. Sure, yeah.
So walk me through that a little one more time.
So I'll give you an example of augmented virtuality.
Perfect.
So actually, we did a project, and I don't know how much I can say about it, but I'll try and say on a high level. It was for rehabilitation. And so what you do is you sit in kind of a forest environment. In this forest environment, you wear a head-mounted display, something like the Rift, but not the Rift, to be inside of a virtual environment. In this virtual environment, however, you are also with a physical person. And this person is your doctor or whoever is doing your rehabilitation. And so what you do with them is you sit with them at this physical table and you move these almost like chess pieces or little action figures, which are virtual, around on this table. And when you do that, it affects the virtual environment around you. So what you're doing is you're very much in a virtual environment. You're somewhere else, but you have someone in that virtual environment with you. You also have a physical table in that environment with you. So
you can see the table.
Yes.
In the physical table in the virtual space, and you can see the doctor or whoever
right.
in the virtual space. And then you're... Okay. All right. All right. That wasn't as hard as I thought.
We talked about a game like a really long time ago with like a castle or something, where like if you did certain things, it would change everything that you saw.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
I don't
know either.
All right.
Anyways.
Good talk.
Yeah. Thanks. All right.
So Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
I'm sold. What about Oculus Rift currently has you the most excited? I mean, is there a specific game feature style? The colors, is it they're waiting for them to come out in multiple colors? You know, like iPhone style, so you can get one in green. Like what is it about Oculus Rift?
I want a pink one.
I know you do. What is about Oculus Rift specific? I mean, like, is there any one point that you can point at for the noobs and be like, this is why you should be freaking out right now?
Well, for the noobs, I would say the reason you should be freaking out is because it is the most transportational medium that is out there. You know, in terms of
the Bubblegum virtuality machines, definitely were not transport. I couldn't fit that on a bus with me. That's definitely.
Well, actually, that's not what I mean. I mean, they take you to a different place.
Oh, yeah. See, we did the virtuality thing.
Yeah.
Again. All right.
That's what we did.
All right.
So, you know, for somebody who doesn't know anything about virtual reality, that's what I'd say is the most powerful thing about this new stuff. And what I think really separates it from the devices from the 90s is that they're very immersive. Incredibly, they're the most immersive medium out there.
So I think the thing that I always struggle with when we talk about this kind of stuff is you know, I get you put the headset on, and hopefully the headset is a little bit lighter so that poor Danielle's neck doesn't snap. But there's still, I still struggle with a point, like, I can't reach out and grab something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's still, it's still going to be all just air that's in front of me. Hopefully. I mean, hopefully. Otherwise, maybe it's something else and I'm just in a really bad way. But, I mean, how does the Oculus Rift go with that? I mean, if this is something that's not augmented, this is just pure virtual, are we still using controllers at that point, or?
So, I guess out of the box with the Rift, what you get is an Xbox One controller. And that's sort of the baseline for developers. And it's really just there to kind of have a standard for developers.
Okay.
What you're talking about using your hands is sort of coming out probably maybe this year, maybe next year, very soon, though, within a year. They're calling it Oculus Touch, and they're kind of like motion controllers that you can move your hands around naturally and grab things.
So like, we're talking like a glove?
Not a glove.
Because Nintendo had a Power Glove out a long time
that.
Ago.
Yeah, that was, the Power Glove.
They should bring back the Power Glove. Talk to them about that for me, okay? I'm kidding. So if it's not a glove, are we talking like, what are we talking about with it?
It sounds more like a Wii controller.
So yeah, more close to a Wii controller.
Oh, okay.
They changed the form factor a little bit, kind of wraps around your hand. Mm-hmm. But
so
yeah,
you don't throw it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And it's supposed to be a little more ergonomic too. Sure. But yeah, I guess closer to a Wii controller.
Okay.
Without having to have this sensor bar.
What you're looking for is the table with the chess pieces.
I am. Apparently, I wanted augmented virtuality.
That's what you
is
want.
What I want augmented virtuality.
Or do you want to have the glove on and it feels like you're grabbing something?
I want to. I want the resistance, I guess, that you'd feel from.
Why don't you
just
pick up a physical object?
Because they're heavy.
Well, and I think we've already discussed this. I'm not big on physical reality.
This seems so silly. I'm sorry.
Well, to a certain point, because like, okay, so I'm an uber nerd. So when I hear virtual reality, the first thing I want to do, of course, is play Dungeons and Dragons.
Because no, it isn't.
Why? No, the first thing I want to do is play virtual reality. Play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not speaking with the rest of you people. But to do that, I want to have Dragon Ball Z fights, you know, like flying around through the air and throwing giant fireballs at each other and getting knocked around and all that. Like that would be something that is like, and I realize that I'm getting real picky. Like Oculus Rift is already this gigantic advancement. And I'm like, yeah, but
can you do this?
Can I fly yet? No, not impressed. Like I don't. That's not really.
Can I literally hold a fireball in my hand and feel it pulsating with the heat? If not, no, thank you.
And then, and this is very important. Throw it at someone else.
Right.
Right.
Right. And feel the power of the release.
Thank you. See, yes. You understand what I'm talking about.
Sure.
I just want a destructo disc. Something. Is that so much to ask? Apparently,
you want a holodeck. That's what you want.
Yes. When is the holodeck coming, Justin?
Couple years,
like that was very
well.
He said
that came out very earnest.
I know, like I believe him that by 2020 there's going to be a holodeck, and I'm going to be looking like a jackass for you know. So Oculus Rift will this, but this doesn't talk to our Xbox One. We still need a separate computer.
Oculus has nothing to do with Xbox,
right? Okay, I knew they were both. I mean, they're both Microsoft, but
no, they're not.
Who told me they were Microsoft? Was it you?
No.
Well, I did say they had an Xbox One controller.
I thought maybe I must have read that somewhere, because I assumed that it was from. So who's making Oculus Rift then?
Facebook.
What?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Shut up.
Because
awesome.
Here's the thing, Al. They're not looking at this as a gaming device.
They're looking at this as a
communication and lifestyle device.
How can I track your every move? Literally, is by putting something on your body.
I'm down,
I guess.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
This is listen.
Says the girl with her smartwatch that she brags about.
That's different.
No, it's
my
not.
Smartwatch doesn't advertise to me like Facebook.
Keeps track
does.
Of every step you take.
And if you don't think that thing influences
on purpose,
right? But if you think that watch doesn't influence the advertisements that you see on your computer, I would.
I don't know how it would.
We'll tell you about it later.
So this is the thing then. I was just looking at the gaming side of Oculus Rift. I am apparently just woefully unprepared.
So what are we going to use Oculus Rift for, like, functionally, if it's not for gaming? Like, what do we do with it?
So, kind of like Dan said, I mean, one of the main reasons that Facebook got it is because it has an incredible potential for social connectivity, right? So, in virtual reality, you're transported, right? Like I was talking about earlier. Imagine being able to transport to your friend's house.
So, we're talking like a giant Sims game that you're an actual participant and so are your friends.
I don't know that it has to be a Sims game so much as a very realistic Skype conversation.
So now that I'm wrapping my head around this and I'm now on the right page.
So it'll feel like the Six. What's the show that was on Netflix?
Yes. Sense8.
It'll be like Sense8.
Without the physical part, which I think we've discussed earlier.
Right. So you couldn't actually make out with them.
But it would be kind of cool. I mean, when you think about this, like, you know, you're talking to your friend and you're talking about how much you want to, you know, where you want to go on your next trip together, and you can go take a virtual trip so that it feels like you really are standing in the middle of Machu Picchu looking around at what's going on. I mean,
exactly. But if I'm still at home and I have to take it off and I'm still at home and I'm not flying there and I'm not.
Or when you're moving across the country and you're looking for a house and that virtual tour that right now you're clicking through on your computer, you're walking through the house virtually through the headset.
Okay. I'm now back now that I'm back with everybody else, back. Now that I've arrived where everyone else was.
Or like that surgeon that can't make it across the country to do that consultation.
Yeah. Right.
He could put on Oculus Rift and be in that room.
Right.
So is Oculus Rift then going to stay like as bulky as it is, or are they going to shrink it down a bit like Google Glass was?
I definitely think the goal is to shrink it down.
Okay.
I mean, coming from the 90s stuff, right, and even the Disney Quest 2 is probably the 90s stuff technically.
Oh, it
too.
Is, definitely.
It's much more comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the goal is to do all kinds of weird science stuff and make it in your brain.
I don't want to look like I'm doing something nerdy. I just want to do something nerdy.
I have a feeling that you're going to look like you're doing something nerdy for at least the next little bit. I mean, if you think about how much they're managing to cram down into this thing.
But here's the thing, right? So, like, let's say I am wanting to take a trip with my friend and we want to go to Machu Picchu. We both have to have Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Does Machu Picchu
What do you mean, do they both have to have Oculus Rift? No.
You can just touch your shoulder, and she's there with you. Because magic.
And before you say it, no, Oculus Rift does not need an Oculus Rift. Machu Picchu does not need an Oculus Rift.
I'm just saying.
All they need is someone to go there with a camera one day.
Or, I don't know, access Google Maps.
Right.
Since Google Maps now does, or Google, is it, yeah, Maps? Yeah, Google Maps now does
so,
a store of Machu Picchu.
My point was not obvious. Obviously, she has to have it. So then that means everyone has to have it. It has to be affordable enough for everyone. And isn't it super expensive?
It is not. What are they retailing at? Like, okay, relatively speaking.
I'm going to say, like, it was the same price as an Xbox, wasn't it? Because you still have to have a machine powerful enough. And if I don't have a machine powerful enough, I have to go out and buy it. So I'm still spending, what, like $500-$600, right?
$600 just on the headset itself, actually.
So like $1,000.
Probably a little closer to, $1,500. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, not everyone has that kind of money. So
it turns out
sharing this experience with other people is not going to be as close as we want it to be until they can make it affordable.
Right.
Right, and for a long time, laptops weren't affordable and they weren't in everybody's house.
Blah, 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 blah,
and people,
blah.
And MacBooks, remember we talked about this when we were talking about this last time.
Yes.
Retail, MacBooks retail around, but not MacBooks. I don't know which one. Macintosh has lots of laptops. So does actually PC, for that matter.
MacBooks,
that have that.
And not everybody needed a BlackBerry, but now everybody's got a smartphone.
Hell, it's true. Your cell phone and a new iPhone costs as much as an Oculus Rift.
That's not mine.
Not everybody can afford a smartwatch, Danielle.
My smartwatch was $100. Don't even try me.
All right, Danielle, we get it. You're poor. Now,
yes, I am.
Okay, now that I'm finally understanding what the hell's going on here, I'm getting stupid excited.
Welcome to the conversation,
Thank you very much. I'm so glad that I booked an expert here to tell me about the really, really basic shit.
But still, you have to have everyone that you want to interact with has to have it. Like, that's still going to be difficult process.
This is... It's just dropping. It's coming out at, we'll call $650 or so. You jump forward a couple years...
And they'll have a budget version. Machu Picchu. It just takes you to Savannah.
Well, I think there's some other qualifiers, too. I mean, the Rift isn't the only device that's going to be released. There's actually a $100 device called the Gear.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Of course you will.
And an even cheaper one called Cardboard.
Cardboard?
And it's literally cardboard.
There's actually an even cheaper one called Your Imagination.
Yeah. That one's free.
No, not anymore.
The Gear Facebook you said is the $100 one, and does it do all the same things Oculus Rift does?
Yeah, just not as well.
So what isn't as well in it?
The applications aren't. There's not as many of them, and the graphics aren't as good, and it doesn't track your head position.
Well... Okay, then.
But it's like an introductory level one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then in a couple of years, when they come out with models 3, 4, 5, all the older models will be much cheaper. And it'll be like buying a iPhone 5C.
I have
right
a
now.
Note 3, and they're on like the 5 or 6
exactly.
or something. So, yeah.
You could use it'll that be with like Gear. That.
Huh?
You could use that with the Gear. Actually, The way the Gear works is use your smartphone inside of it.
Okay.
So that way you avoid the whole computer problem.
That's interesting.
So that'll be the budget classroom version.
But is there an app? Like, do you have to download an app then for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like VR apps.
How much are the apps?
You know, to be honest, I'm not really sure. Probably somewhere around like $10, $15,
$20. Shopping.
He's not representing that company today. Yeah. He's not a salesperson.
I am actually really curious about Cardboard, though. Cardboard is even cheaper than is actually
cardboard,
literally made of cardboard.
Sounds like when you take a cardboard box and you draw a rocket in it.
It's true. All right. Oh, Daniel got muted again. Tell us about Cardboard.
So Cardboard is the cheap version of the Gear. You stick your phone inside of it, but you kind of have to assemble it at the beginning. I mean, it's simple. You sort of fold the cardboard into something that looks like a head-mounted display, and you have to hold it up.
So it's the IKEA.
So if I can be clear here, the cardboard sounds like I'm just something to hold my smartphone up.
More or less. I mean, it's got lenses in it. I guess that's the key component, right, to doing VR, is you have the lenses which give you the stereo view.
It's just the IKEA version.
Yeah, all right.
Some assembly required.
All right. I'm now 100% on board with this Oculus Rift, though. I'm going to need to...
Well, good.
I'm deciding my kids don't really need to go to college right away.
You've decided that multiple times.
I have, and spent their college money, which, for the record, I haven't saved.
You should start working on that.
Yeah, one of them's really smart. The other one might be, so they'll get to college one way or
another. Which one is really smart?
My oldest.
Oh.
The other one's like 4 months, so he may be smart, he may be an idiot. I have no way of knowing. At this point, he just lays there fat and like Googles a look.
Super fat.
Not Googles.
Giggles?
Giggles, not Googles. If he Googled, that would be awesome. But he doesn't. He just sits there and drools a lot. All right, so Oculus Rift. You guys building yourself. Are you guys doing anything with Oculus Rift? Do you guys have anything in there you're looking to do?
Actually, we're working with another HMD called the HTC Vive.
Right, screw Oculus Rift. I like this one.
What is that?
The HTC Vive is, I guess, the same thing as the Rift, right? You transport virtual reality, all that cool stuff, except they call it room scale tracking. So you can walk around something up to about a 15 by 15 foot space and interact with the environment naturally.
Holy crap.
That's actually
That's more
really
like what
cool.
you want, Al.
That is exactly what I want.
That's awesome.
That's why I said the holodeck was really only a few years. You
That's
know.
Awesome. That's awesome. I'm actually literally in my house. I'm thinking about my house right now is which room am I going to repurpose?
The VR room.
VR room.
So like you pick up a coffee cup and instead of a coffee cup, it's like a lightsaber and pew, pew, pew.
So you have kind of the Wii controllers, kind of like we talked about touch before. And you use that to interact with the environment. One of the demo apps they have right now is called Job Simulator, and you're cooking these different meals and serving them on
awful.
A plate. And
I hate cooking.
All right, way to really focus on the important part, Danielle. What that means is that when you're talking about stuff like you're doing stuff like physical training and things like that, these kind of items.
Oh yeah.
That you can actually physically move around in the space and not have to worry about slamming into anything because you got this 15 by 15, and if the VR is putting a wall at 15 feet, then in the VR with the heads up display on, you actually see where it stops. So that'd be what I would assume. Am I close?
Yeah, they do put a wall.
I'm trying to make up for failing so badly.
This is how you finally get trained to be a Jedi.
Is this how I get trained to be a Jedi?
Yeah.
All right. Jedi, ninjas, ninja night whales? Is that what you decided?
Ninja night whales.
Those are my two big takeaways. Also, finally understanding what the hell the Oculus Rift does. I thought we were... I was just stuck on Virtual Boy. I think that was the whole...
You were.
I really was. It was
in Church Street.
What? Thing you did in the 90s. Got it.
No, that was Bubble Yum. Virtual Boy was Nintendo's Game Boy virtual thing.
You remember Time Cop, Al?
No.
You don't remember Time Cop?
I don't.
Is that like RoboCop?
It's a Van Damme movie.
Oh, that was why.
But there's a great example of they basically predicted Oculus Rift and they used it for porn, of course.
Right. Well, I'm assuming that's the first thing that's coming out for it. Oculus Rift will have porn first.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll find something else to do with it that'll help people or something. All right.
Anything I feel else? Like that's really expensive for porn.
Just got silent. No, I'm not. Well, I had so many comments and I wasn't going to go with any of them.
Yep.
Justin, is there anything else we should know about you guys, about your company, about Oculus, or about any of the VR tech? Is there anything else that, like, holy crap, these idiots didn't talk about this?
There's 100 things. 100 things and nothing, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the main point is that, like I said, this technology really is setting a lot of things up to change the way that we do pretty much everything that we do. You know, we go to work because we have to be around people. With VR, we can be around people without having to go to work. You know, we go to a doctor's office and we work with a doctor because that's the only people that are around. And like you said, the doctors can come to us now and they're much more available because they don't have to do all the traveling and stuff in between. You know, we can go grocery shopping in virtual reality. I get any kind of shopping in virtual reality. We can meet people in virtual reality. So I guess that's the biggest takeaway.
So what are the odds that we end up in about 10 years all just sitting around with these goggles on and not doing anything else?
I feel like this is how WALL-E ended up.
Yeah, the WALL-E or...
you guys think everything's going to end up in WALL-E.
Ready Player One. Actually, Ready Player One was the other one that jumped.
Now, if you put one of these with a hoverboard, yeesh.
Like they don't hover and they're not boards. Please stop calling them that.
Hoverboard.
The kid in the building next door to us has one, and I'm like, my house is going to go up in flames because he's got one.
I don't think you understand how those things work.
They
combust.
They have...
They what?
Yes.
They combust.
Scratch that. I don't know how these things work.
Yes.
I'm like pretty consistently.
They are not allowed anywhere near an airport or airplanes anymore because they catch on fire for no reason.
Did you know about this, Justin?
The hoverboards, yeah.
I've seen unboxing videos where they've caught fire during the unboxing.
Yeah, so anyway, my house is going to catch on fire, but back to virtual reality.
Oh my God, I'm so going to buy one. I'm leaving here.
You don't like your house?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at insurance. Oh, I probably shouldn't say that on the show, though.
Hey, Al's insurance company.
Whatever. What
I'm getting is that, like, if you've seen the commercial, I forget what the product is, but it's got Katie Couric and
it's probably Corona.
No, then they're it's showing old footage. It's showing old footage from the early 90s where they're like, "What's internet? What's that symbol?"
Yeah.
Like that's how we're gonna sound in 10 years talking about virtual reality, right?
That's the way I sounded on this episode.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
this episode is gonna sound like that.
In 10 years, we're gonna be like, "Oh, well, of course, that's what it is because it's inundated in our lives."
That's
like.
Right.
At one point, people said, why would people want a computer in their house? And now, look at
now
us.
We have them in our pockets.
Yeah.
So have you pre-ordered the Oculus Rift or the HTC version?
Well, actually, with the Rift, I was a Kickstarter backer, so they're giving all Kickstarter backers a free one, so that's kind of cool.
Nice.
Wow.
And we have a Vive. And if you don't know anything about the Vive, they're very... I guess hard to come by, and we sort of happenstancely came across an HTC employee, and things happened. And now we have a Vive, so we're
things happen, and now we have a Vive.
Yeah,
that was very glazed over.
Is that HTC employee still alive?
Still an employee?
Is this Breaking Bad?
This is where Justin just and then
we've got them all. We've got them all.
Okay, you notice he didn't answer the question, but I'm not going to push any farther. So I can. All right.
So you have the cardboard. You had the cardboard and the other one that you said.
Gear.
I wanted
actually, the gear is the only one we don't have, but yeah, that's the only one we don't have. It's around.
Got it.
He just doesn't care enough. Like it's not even on his radar. All right, let's get into some B-roll here.
Yep.
All right, so we're not going to spend too terribly long on this one. I've actually got we've actually got a manager from a local gaming store who's going to be coming on the show here pretty soon. But one of the articles that you guys might have seen on our Facebook page recently was the an article in defense of your friendly local gaming store. And by this, we're talking. I use the generic term dork store to kind of wrap up all of these things. These are places where you buy Magic cards, where you play Magic, obviously board games. You know, basically. If they're not selling booze, you guys know that's the spot I'm talking about. Your comic book shops,
yes,
that kind of place.
Yes, we know what you mean.
So, the article basically posited that we as dorks owe something to our friendly local gaming store and encouraging us to try to buy local from these guys as opposed to saving a couple bucks by ordering it online. So that was the crux of the article. I see Danielle already shaking your head, so I'm assuming you disagree.
Well, it's not that I disagree. Like, I support them in what ways I can, but as far as purchasing games from them, games are really expensive. And I already know what I want. Like, I read the article, and it was like, you know, the local gaming store is where you can go to learn about new games. And most of the time, if I'm buying a game, it's already a game I've been exposed to by playing or have heard about it or someone told me about it. And so I've already been exposed to it. I'm not just going to go out and buy a random game that I've never heard of. And I am poor. So I walk into these stores and I've done it several times thinking, man, I'd love to buy something from these people, but they're so expensive. Like, it's so much more money than just going on Amazon. And again, I already know what I want. So why would you? It's just, I mean, I want to support them, but just not by buying board games.
I want to support them. I don't want to spend any money there, though. I want to support them.
Emotionally, she wants to support them.
I mean, like, it
tell them they're doing a great job.
It sounds terrible, but, like, I just...
So, but for you, it comes down to cash.
It does. And I like going in there and talking to them and learning new things and, you know, having discussions about what I like about board games and what they like about board games. But as far as them exposing me to something new and then that in turn leading me to purchase is probably not going to happen.
I believe the article was written with people like you directly in mind.
I know. And I feel bad, but I just, like, bottom dollar is important to me.
So you're saying, If it was the same price to buy in the store versus buying online, which would you'd go purchase it in the store?
1,000,000%. Especially so, because that means I can unbox it and play it that day.
So
and I have done that. Right. I have bought.
No, I get that. So at what point does it no longer, I mean, like, is it $5, $10, $15? Is it a percentage? Like, at what point, if you can get it $5 cheaper on Amazon?
Well, I would say it goes down more to percentages because $5 off of like $80 isn't really like a lot. But $5 off of $30 is a lot.
Okay, so we're talking, so to present, okay, all right.
Yeah.
See, I Professor Stone posted a lengthy response, which basically was exactly what you're saying. Starts with what you're saying.
Yeah.
That we don't owe anything to the stores. The stores owe something to us, and they need to adapt in order to meet the changing market. And I thought it was a really interesting point, and not a terribly, not a point that a whole lot of people would be willing to make on a geeky website, but... trust Professor Stone to give you what you want to hear it or not.
That's right.
I mean, again, I'm not saying I'm never going to buy stuff. Again, I have bought stuff from these stores. It's just, it is really expensive. And if I'm buying a lot of games, which I have bought a lot of games, if I'm not looking to play it right then and there and I know I can get it cheaper somewhere else, I'm going to go buy it somewhere else.
What do you, Justin, do you partake in any of this? Are we outside of your geek area?
I think I agree with having to adapt, honestly. I don't think supporting a local store just because they're local is a good thing. I think they need to adapt. And money is obviously not where they compete, so they need to compete on user experience. And a lot of people aren't really doing that. So
I would agree. Well, and, you know, here's the thing. What did you think there,
Professor? Well, I don't think it's necessarily even a conversation about gaming stores as much as it is just local mom-and-pop operations that are competing with the internet. I mean, that could be comic book stores, that could be gaming stores, that could be boutiques, that could be anything. We're in a new age of consuming, where people are ordering more and more online because they know they can save the money.
If I walk into a boutique, let's say we're talking about clothes, and I see a really cute white cardigan and I see the price tag is $40, I'm going to be like, I just saw this, a very similar one at Target for $20. I'm not going to spend $40 just because it is locally owned. I'm not.
So I tend to agree to a point. I agree. I actually agreed completely with Professor Stone on this one. There is a need for adaptation. There is a need to adjust to the new reality here. We see a lot of these. You know, I was big into Magic recently. Eventually ran out of money because Magic's expensive. So. And as I was playing, I played at a couple different shops, and the things that I found is there's a lot of these tiny shops that are, you know, they're only open a couple days a week. They're clearly owned by a guy who's got a regular 8 to 5 and just kind of does this on the evening sometimes. And these things and these stores invariably go under. I mean, they never manage to last. The ones that do are the ones that like double down on this. You know, you have spots like Cool Stuff Games here in Orlando, which has a massive online presence and actually catches a lot of flack because they're called. You can find a bunch of stuff on Reddit that refer and Board Game Geek, which is the major board game website. They refer to the Cool Stuff Games as the Walmart of the board game industry because they'll constantly literally sell board games at a loss because they make up their money in so many other different places. And so then they kind of develop a little bit of a reputation.
But that's what these stores need to do. They need to value add something to these games because we're not just going to walk in and spend an extra $5 if we don't need it right now.
And that's exactly my point. So I think that the stores that want to do this have to adapt.
Yeah.
And it'll be really interesting to have, like I said, a whole couple weeks we're hoping to get him to come on in and sit down and talk with us. And maybe kind of explore this option out a little bit more. But I was kind of curious to get y'all's opinions on this and kind of feel where you guys are at. If you, to all of our listeners out there, we'd love for you, you can find this thread. Please post to it. We'd be really interested to hear what some of you guys have to say about it. Do we owe something to a local shop simply by virtue of the fact that they are a local shop? I'm kind of in. I will pay a little more personally to buy local. I think it's kind of important. I want to support a mom and pop shop. I know that Target doesn't need my money. So, but I mean, obviously, there's a point where that no
exactly.
longer becomes.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a question. I think for a lot of folks, I think given the choice between dealing with, I pay extra to go to Target over Walmart, even though I know I'm buying the exact same thing, simply because the experience of shopping at Target doesn't make me violent. Where shopping at Walmart
don't even get me started.
Makes me just so angry inside.
Just and I know looking at Walmart makes me angry.
And I know that they both treat their employees like crap, and I know that they both are selling the exact same thing for a couple bucks more.
Actually, Target does treat their employees a lot better than Walmart does.
Okay. But the point here is, regardless of the details on your, I know that I'm buying the same basic stuff for a couple bucks more by going to Target, and I still do it. And I think the same thing applies with slightly different reasonings to the locals, to the boutiques, you know, that kind of stuff. You could be listening to a professional radio show, but instead you'll listen to this podcast.
Because we're free.
Exactly. If I charged you, I bet you people wouldn't listen. So, okay. Anybody else have anything? Well, like I said, we'll jump back to this in a couple weeks. I think it's time for shameless plugs.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
All right. Justin, would you like to shamelessly plug your guys' stuff?
Yeah, so our website is www.chronosapieninteractive.com. We're also on Reddit at whatever the Reddit thing is, reddit.com/r/chronosapien. You can check us out and what we're doing there. To be honest, we haven't really updated our website much, so don't be surprised if it's kind of crappy there. But Reddit, you can definitely find us and talk to us there.
So Reddit's the main place to come find you guys?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And is there anything we can be keeping an eye out for that you guys – I mean, I know we've got the Space Between coming. Anything else major that we should be keeping an eye out?
Space Between's the main one. Hopefully we'll have something on the Vive in the next year.
Awesome. Fantastic. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Way to be way smarter than us. That's awesome. Producer Dan, what have you got?
As always, a big shout out to my company, Epic Events. You can find me at epiceventsorlando.com.
I would like to give another shout out to the Thirsty Gamers. We had Zach on last week talking about board games and all things board games, and I got to tell you, it was really awesome to catch up with him and to hang out and do this. And I just like to recommend a game out there for you guys if you guys are looking for a game to play. There's a game out there called Sheriff of Nottingham. It has nothing to do with.
I love that game.
Yeah, Sheriff. It has nothing to do with anything.
I played
Robin
that
Hood.
At a game thing.
What would it be at a friendly local gaming store?
No, it was at a gaming meetup, not the Thirsty Gamers, a different one that meets monthly at Stardust.
Okay, well, that one's dumb. Go to the Thirsty Gamers instead.
Well, I know, but this is like a weekend event where you can
That one's dumb.
Okay.
All right.
It's also like right outside my house. So I can walk.
Sheriff of Nottingham. Amazing game. A little bit of bluffing, a little bit of social interaction. That's, it's a five-player game.
Super great game.
You should absolutely check it out. That one, I really enjoyed that one. And the Thirsty Gamers meeting Thursday at the Hourglass Brewery over there in Longwood. If you guys would like more details, you can find us on Facebook and ask us about it. So that's going to do it for us. Danielle, can you tell them where to find us?
You can find us on Facebook at For Geek's Sake. Chances are you've already seen us on Facebook. And if you'd like to see us on the Twitter, which I don't know how much Twittering we do lately.
We do a fair amount of Twittering, actually.
Do we?
Yeah,
okay,
we tweet.
I haven't looked at it in a while.
We're jiggy.
You can find us at For the number four Geeks Sake. That's two S's at For Geeks Sake. And be sure to subscribe and share things that you like from our Facebook page. We're always looking for more listeners. And thanks for listening.
All right. Well, in that case, we want to give Justin a big thank you for coming out and for being a part. Make sure you check out his website and all the cool stuff that he's got going on over there. So on behalf of myself and all the wonderful folks here at For Geek's Sake, this is Al Sterling saying, always.